I just remind you one thing, as I say so often to the children of God, and that these messages go all around the different parts of the world. And that is, the Bible says that after that you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you reject it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. Once you come to this knowledge, you can't go to another church that is teaching less than this. You have to go to another church if you're going to change churches that would be an equality of this, or one that excels this. Or if you go to another church that's less than this, you still have to maintain your status as to this level of your understanding. You cannot drift back with those that are of a less degree in understanding. You are doomed and damned when you do that. So it's like a person in the ninth grade, they cannot go back to the fifth grade and know less than they know as to what they've learned in the ninth grade. And it would take an ignorant person to go back and try to blind themselves as to a fifth grade knowledge when they have a ninth grade knowledge. And it is even more foolish as to a grown-up who has tried to raise up children to try to bring themselves down to the level of the child, that what the child does in riding his tricycle and whatever, to get out there and take the tricycle away from the little child. Quite a little difference the other day, and some people were trying to make their points about me preaching, where Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things, as to the reference of people, as to the children of this world, that all that they do, it is childlike, and they're just children. As to the knowledge that we have, they're just children. And I said, well, you know, if you feel that way about it, as to this being wrong, I said, what would you say that if you came over to visit with me and you found me riding the tricycle? I said, would you think that was all right? I said, after all, there's nothing wrong with a tricycle. You say that there's nothing wrong with such and such. I said, if there's nothing wrong with such and such, is there anything wrong with riding a tricycle? And they agreed that it wasn't. I said, but it sure does look out order if I go out there and take the tricycle away from the little one and I ride the tricycle. And they got the point, and they decided that maybe it was right, because they couldn't picture me riding a tricycle when they come to visit with me. And that's the way it is, folks. You can't go back to the beggarly elements of this world. You are grown up now, and you've got to put your childish doings away. You've got to leave the tricycle as you go up and get a bicycle. And when you get a little older, you need to leave the bicycle. I know bicycles are considered transportation around the world. I've been in my hotel in Holland, in different places, and watched through the window as just masses of people on bikes go to work and whatever. And they have different kinds of bicycles. But it's still deadly and dangerous. I also watched as the cars come whisking by, and it was very deadly and dangerous. And the good term of mind would have been for them to have got rid of that thing and got them a car. Folks call themselves economizing. They say, well, we economize. You know, we ride a bicycle and it's good exercise. And it is. They ride a bicycle for a week and they get plenty of exercise and they economize. And then they save enough to pay the funeral bill when they get killed the next week. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'd just rather have a few little problems and maybe not be quite so agile, or pick me another way to take my exercise and to economize. There is such a thing as using a little wisdom about things, and I feel like that's what we ought to do. If you want to turn with me to the book of St. Matthew's chapter 22, I'd like to say some things right here. As I talk to you, Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended in the things that I say. The Bible said if you want a wise man, he'll be wiser. And if you want a fool, you just get yourself a block, because you can tell him whatever you want to, but he'll go on till the dart strikes through the liver. Appreciate what I heard Brax say yesterday. Braxter came to me and said, Brother Pike, said, I've been a foolish boy. And he said, man, I really thought I knowed something. And he said he had a vision And then all of a sudden, the veil come off of his eyes. He said he talked like he couldn't get a hold of the fact that he had been so foolish. And he began to tell me how the Lord showed him the difference between the spirit and the flesh, and how that a person all these years, Brack's been brought up in religion from the time he was a boy, and that all of these years, how he's been so blind. And he was telling me the difference and telling me what God had revealed to him. And it is a true fact, and I say this with all reverence and respect. He's about 27 years old. And Brack has come to me numbers of times with numbers of things. And I just turned it off. I didn't listen at it because it didn't make no sense at all. It just wasn't there. And he came to me this time, and I picked up his spirit, and he actually had broke the spirit off that had him blind. And almost everything that he said, and he said a number of things, it was absolutely a fact and right to a T, just exactly the way the Spirit gave it. And I marvel, because it is so that when the veil lifts from your eyes, you're so different. He said, I feel different. I think different. And even into the utilizing of my faith, Brother Pike said, it really works. And he explained his conviction of faith as to his degree of knowledge, and it was exactly right. And he's been put into the test. He named a number of things where he put it to the test, and it worked. And so it is. But still at the same time, where he's 27 and he has come to the understanding of the truth, you, some of you, have been here for years. And still, at this time, you've never come to the knowledge of the truth. And you're still playing around with childish things, and you're still relating to the natural carnalities of life with your human senses, and still are in bondage to these things with the human senses. Whereas I wish I had time to explain. Sometimes, like as of yesterday, today, explaining a little bit to the brethren down the multipurpose building, I have a quiet audience, I have a hungering audience, and a thirsting audience, and they don't get in no hurry. They just wait for me to talk with them to see what the Spirit will say to the churches. And the Spirit says many wonderful things to them. And in this, I get a chance to reveal some of the intricate things of Christ and as to the matters of this world. But here, it's such formality as to collect minds and to keep them together and keep them constant straighten until it's almost an impossibility. I have to talk and collect minds, and then when I get going, I have to drive a little bit to jolt different ones back into a state of mind as to concentrate, and it doesn't let me just settle down, you know, and just kind of like a boat drifting on the waters. Well, no pressure from me, no effort from me, see, with no exertion from me, just to settle down and let the Lord begin to speak, and let the Spirit begin to speak and detail things. He details it so, in such a way. As last night I was telling my wife, I had a vision sometimes in the morning. I don't know just when, but anyway, I had a vision. And in the vision, I looked, and there stood before me a form. All of a sudden, right in the front of me, out of nowhere, it just popped out like that, and there stood a human form before me. And looked like that the individual might have been somewhere in the 30s, as to the early 30s. And as it come out before me, looked at me in kind of a nonchalant-like way, not as to a light-hearted mockery, but as to a tranquility of peace and relaxation, to where there was no pressures of life. And kind of like somebody that would take a straw, you know, on a spring day and just relaxed and no worries and whatever. It was as though it was that kind of atmosphere. And he began to talk with me. And the gracious words that came forth from his mouth were so fantastically wonderful. It was such a great, wonderful state of ecstasy as he expressed himself. And with the vocabulary grouping of words, it was just phenomenal. It was just heavenly. And I thought, my God, this is a wonderful. I hear him and I know exactly what he's saying. And I know he's talking directly to me. But the thing is, I said, I don't see how I can ever retain this. I just don't see how I can ever remember this. I just don't see how I can do it. And then he continued on until in a little bit it seemed like the scene had kind of shifted and he was over here away from the position that he was in at the first. And he continued. And then all of a sudden, as with that, he just, like that, he was gone. And I was real puzzled. And about that time, as to where he was standing past him, I looked through a window, and then there came out, as it would be, a young person, a young boy, kind of coming out of the house, you know, to kind of revel a little bit. And I stepped outside, and I thought, my, it's growing late. I must have been in there a long time. And I said to the young fellow, I said, hey, I said, what time is it? And he said, it's Wednesday. He never did tell me what time it was. He just said, it's Wednesday. And with that, the vision went away. Well, I don't know what it meant. I had some thoughts about it, and somebody else came to me, listened, and then they gave me their opinion of it, and their opinion could be right. I don't know. But it's strange that their opinion of it was the same thing as my opinion. And I say opinion because I can't definitely say that the Lord has expressed to me as to what it had to do with, and maybe he'll express it to you. I don't know. But I do know that God is moving by His Spirit. All the time He's moving by His Spirit. And I've seen visions and visions and visions and dreams and wonderful things of God just in abundance. And I've had revelation in abundance. Paul spoke of the abundance of his revelation. And still my heart is overflowing with abundance of revelation. Being in the spirit world, I went into the spirit world years and years ago, and I've been in the spirit world ever since. I've never desired to get out of the spirit world. And there is a world that is natural, that is terrestrial. There is a world that is spiritual, that is celestial. And here scientists speak of the celestial, and they have reverence as to the natural things of heaven, the moon, the stars, these things as to the heavens being broke down at this time, which is a typical thing. As to as in earth, so in heaven, or that is to say, they are scientifically breaking those things down and defining them as to the planets and whatever. And that means that if there's a natural thing taking place, though it is a heavenly spiritual allegory, yet it's still within the natural realms as to a 1, 2, 3. God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. And that is taking place, that means there has to be something in the spirit world as the true heavenly source that is taking place, that at this time that God has us as to the trend of life, as to the position of life, or as to the milestones that we pass, as to the stations, it is said, as you mark something, has us way over here down the trail a long ways. And that means that it is taking place in the earth, that now there's being revealed to the heavenly people their heavenly understanding and their heavenly mind as to their heavenly abode, and that they're defining, breaking down, grasping in, and being transformed in their mind into this heavenly state of mind and this heavenly world. So the wonderful thing of God is taking place. Every day is taking place. While there are others, as it is said, that they cannot see when good cometh. They are blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. You have to help them along, for the Bible said, Satan, having blinded their eyes of understanding, then they do not see when good cometh. And so they are blind, and they go on reveling in the flesh, and the only desire they have is of the flesh and of these things as to the human senses as to which they are in bondage to. Being in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, of this that will pass away. Paul said, as to the heavenly treasure that we received in earthen vessels since Calvary, there's no comparison as to be compared with that heavenly treasure as to the beggarly elements of the world. And he said to them that have escaped, do you desire to be again in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, as to be the bonds child rather than the free child, in that the body of our being is dead by Calvary, and it is buried with the Lord in baptism, and our spirit is to the angelic part of us, has gone back to God who gave it, and it's in its freedom as to its world of freedom, and it is not subject to the sin of this body and the lust of this body and the desire of this body anymore, as to the toning of that angelic being to sin and death, in that it is sealed with the Holy Spirit. He that is born of God keepeth himself by that seal of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And the evil one, is to Satan's spirit, never touches him at any time. He is thus without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the Bible said Jesus is coming back after such a church. So I try to tell you this, and if you'll notice here when we minister to you, we're not always ministering to you as to the do's and don'ts, as to whether you wear pants, or whether you don't, or whether you curl your hair, or whether you don't, or whether you wear jewelry, or whether you don't, or whether you do such and such, or whether you don't. We hardly ever minister on that. Just occasionally we do, because the Bible said you're to be holy in body and in spirit. And that this holiness as to the life of God on the inside should be made manifest in your mortal genes. That this is the way that you redeem the body, which is the purchased possession, is bringing it to the ultimatum as to the perfection of God, and then being changed into a celestial being. See, but we deal mostly as to the war in heaven, mostly with the mind and with the spirit, because this is the third dimension, and this is as to do with the third heaven, and it does have to do with the battle in the heavenlies. So it's not me speaking to you, but it's the heavenly spirit, it's the Holy Ghost speaking to you, and he's warring with your spirit, only in the sense of the rebellion of carnality that is shadowing your spirit if you are born again. To move the shadow that's hindering him from bringing the fullness of his presence and blessings into your angelic being, to give you the fullness of your reward. And he's warring against that shadow, that spot and blemish that is not in your spirit, but in your body, as to the veil, as to say that part of your mind that's not transformated, as to a knowledge of surrender. And I say again that if you come to the knowledge as to that which you're supposed to surrender to, and then you rebel against it and refuse to go to it, then he cuts you off because you're defiled. No matter how far down the trail you go, it's like the law. If you keep all the law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. For the Bible said, not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass away till all be fulfilled. So then, as God has fulfilled the law for us, having given us the righteousness of the law, and as to that being his desire, and then the spirit of that fulfillment as to Christ within you, the hope of glory, then you must make this wonderful desire of God, which is within you, manifest in your mortal genes as to your outer man. And that, of course, measure to measure, or according to your measure, from glory to glory, as your body is able to receive it. And if you do this, then the Lord will help you. All right, let's read chapter 22. Can we? I love to go into the details of the spiritual things, and I love to talk about spiritual things. I love for the Spirit of God just to minister to you the spiritual things, but a lot of people are not spiritual, and they get completely lost in the transitions of these expressions, and they don't get anything out of it. So you have to bring a glass of milk every once in a while to the children, give them a little cereal, and just save the meat back for the strong. They will, by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. But the Bible does say, let meat be in the house of God, for the meat is for the strong. And we do have some that are strong that need meat. And the others, Paul said, you're not as they that are strong. They're still gossiping, backbiting. They're still worldly desires. And these things, he said, are you not yet children, or are you not yet weak? Not as those that have need of strong meat, but milk. And that ye should desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. Chapter 22, reading from the first verse. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. All right, so many are called. Who then is the call? The Bible said, what I say unto one, I say unto all, let whosoever will come. That's the call. And who are the chosen? Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. The chosen are those that are willing to conform to his way of life. Thus he chooses them. That means that we are his disciples. We are his disciples. It is said here that there was a supper. And truly there is a supper. This is the supper of the Lord. He hath killed at Calvary his fatlings as to the Lamb of God, and severally divided unto us, in that he, when he brought them out of Egypt, said to take this lamb through the darkness of this intellectual night, we would say, and feed from this lamb while the blood is on the doorpost. So as to this time when the death angel is passing through the night of your intellectual reasoning, looking for carnality so that he might kill them of carnality, in that to be carnally minded is death. During this time of the darkness, he hath taken us as a spiritual being and shut us within, as to this little house, Peter said, as in this tabernacle. One writer said, as to this house. If it be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And this spirit, as Paul said, I withdraw from the body as inwardly speaking, and I keep under my body, and I put a bridle on it, and I bring it into subjection as to the inner man. And the inner man thus is renewed day by day, though the outer man perish. As to mortifying the deeds of the body and the negligence of the body, as to the things that it desires, as to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. All right, so then we can see that with this, that we have withdrawn from the world and from the fleshly exuberance of the human senses. The human senses, we're subject to the human senses. Subject, as I detailed a little bit to the brethren today, as to the human senses, we are subject as to the taste of that which is good in this world that delights the taste buds, and we are subject unto that which we hear of the vibrations, as to the musical chimes of life, and that which sounds good to our listening ear. And we are subject as to the smell of those things that excites our appetite or excites our being, as to the sweet aromas through the air. And we are subject as to the feeling of that which we touch that's pleasing, that excites our nerve system, or that touches us. We are subject to these things as to taste and smell and sight and hearing and feeling, as to the five human senses, which makes us relative to vanity, or the world of this vanity, as to being that which is a reflection of the true. And that vanity, of course, coming from Lucifer, in that he is the god of this world, for he is the one that made this world of vanity, because this world of vanity really doesn't exist at all except in your mind. And when you, as through Adam and Eve, fell to this level, there was a mind that was given you, And you went, as we would say, momentarily insane as to the things of God. Insanity has to do with this, typically speaking. And you are in a state of insanity, having strong delusions and seeing vanities and the things of this world, as in Adam all die. And it is as to death, because all that you're seeing is a reflection as Lucifer sets upon the circle of the earth, in the sense that there is a second heaven, and this heaven he hath created as to the allowance of God, because he himself, being a spirit, is relative to the spiritual world, and he catches the light of that spiritual world, but being a reflector, even as the moon on one side dark and one side light, or one side hot and one side cold, as the moon is turning to stay cool, it is a silt that reflects the light. And the light is reflected, as we say, to the stars. And among the stars, that is to say, those that reflect, it is nickel and rock. And those are the stars that represent angelic beings that are reflectors, even as Lucifer himself, and that are creatures of the night that is reflecting, as to Lucifer transforming himself into an angel of light, as to the knowledge of God. Light meaning the knowledge or understanding of God, as to the reflection, and his angelic beings, as to inhuman beings, coming as ministers, transforming their minds into ministers of the word, are ministers of light, as to what degree of knowledge they can grasp, that's through educational systems or whatever. Being dead is to the stimulation of the spirit. They depend on music and affecting human spirits and whatever, with exhilaration as to the human senses, whether it's shouting and dancing or whether it's passions or whatever it might be, had to catch their attentions as from a psychological side of life. And so then when the light comes down from that world, it is turned toward you. But it is only a reflection, and it is only a myth, and it is a vanity that appears to be and is not. That's why Jesus, resurrecting from the dead, could do the things that he did. He just walked through the walls, because this world doesn't exist except in the mind of your vanity. And when man fell into the state of insanity as to this reflection of vanity, Satan creating this through strong delusions as to his reasoning as to the tree of knowledge and death. So then are you carnal minded? And being carnally minded is death, because there is no future in vanity. It all must vanish away, and it is only a thing that consists of time element. And as time will come to an end and consummation, so shall the creatures of time come to their end and do a consummation. As to this vanity, when the brightness of the light of God comes at the resurrection of the wicked dead after the restoration, as to the millennium, as to the true, then when it comes as to after that millennium, as to the brightness of his coming, which means the great wonderful understanding of God, then the heavens will dissipate and the mountains will dissipate and the world of vanity will dissipate and the people of vanity, as to the images of vanity, shall dissipate, and there shall be nothing left except the wonderful body of the Lord Jesus that dwells within that light, even the celestial bodies, which is not that of this of the dust. Whereas Jesus said, you are of the earth, you are of the dust, you come from the dust, you go back to the dust. But as to you that are heavenly, that are born to the Spirit, even as I, such are they that are heavenly. He said such, and they that are earthly are earthy, and they that are heavenly are heavenly. So there's a terrestrial body, there's a celestial body. And that means that if you are as to a reflector, then it is as David was saying today, David was questioning as to why there is that the sun sets far away up into the heavens. This is a great light, a burning flame, whereas the flames leap out for many hundreds and thousands of miles away from the sun, even as to millions. And in this great body of fire just continues to go on and go on. But with all of this, out in space, it is not as it would be light, but it becomes dark. And the question arises, why is that? And it is as to this answer, as to when the light comes, as to that light from the great blaze of fire, which is the light of the earth. And were it not for that, the whole earth would freeze over as a ball of ice, and human beings would die, because heat as to friction is what brings vibration and quickening, and that's what gives life. So then as to this, the light comes down, but it doesn't create light as to that which is illuminated until it strikes the spheres, as to the hemisphere, the stratosphere, the ionosphere, and whatever. When it comes down into that, it strikes, as it comes on down, it strikes like as to a magnetic field. All that is, it strikes the atoms as to atomic particles, and the atoms is what lights up and gives you your light. In asking the Lord about this, I asked him what happened, and he made it real clear. As to you that have the minds of Christ, you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things, naturally, physically, spiritually. As to the world, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But anyway, as to this, you yourself, you are just a little house, a little body of clay. You are of the dust. You're just atomic particles, the compositions of atoms. And one day, as Peter said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, and it will be dissolved, in that he said, in the heavens being on fire, that is to say, the elements melting with fervent heat, as to what they make the atomic bomb out of, as to the elements, the atoms, or whatever around you, and in your body, as it has been said, when the atom bomb has been dropped, people become human torches. And everything, it doesn't matter whether it's iron or whatever, it's got a certain place as to the degree of heat, that when this heat comes to a certain place, then it turns into a fire and an illumination, or as to whatever it might be as coming to a certain stage of life as to heat, then it turns into a gas and vaporizes. It becomes a thrust as to a power. So then we find that we are moving more and more into that light. Not as to absorb the glory and as to a consummation, but as to absorb the glory and reflect it back to God, that we can be filled with the fullness of God and drawn more and more into that light. Whereas we brought this out on tape before in our ministry, that it is a true fact that we, as a people, we are here in one perspective or dimension of life. And as it is that God is in another dimension or perspective of life, and that there is as a wall, a middle wall or partition that's called iniquity, that is in between us and between God. If God is a spirit, then he relates to the inward angelic man of God, because God is the father of spirits, so he relates to your spirit. But between you and God, there is the satanic power as to the force of Satan, and it is a middle wall of iniquity that has set up its kingdom within the human being as to the body. And Paul said, there's no good thing that dwells within my body, for a will is present, but I find not how to perform that which is good. And I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, and the good that I would do, I do not. Speaking of the body being in captivity, I find then a law warring against the law of my mind as to the law of liberty, which is in my spirit, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members, or that is to say, the law giving strength to sin, or sin getting strength from the law. Then I find myself a wretched man that I am, because that which I should be performing, I fall short of it. And I find that I'm relative to the things of this world as to my human senses, and my human senses as to carnality and reasoning is contrary to my spiritual senses and to my spiritual desire. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through my flesh, or that is to say, my flesh was weak to the law, because we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. So then, seeing the revelation, realizing that we're weak as to the performance of the law, then sin taken occasion by the law, as to see that I could not perform that which was demanded of me by the law, and that As Paul said to the Jews, you have it and none of you keep it. And the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because you say that you do keep it. So then in this I find that I am free from the law of sin and death, because the Bible said what the law could not do, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, or as to an image of the bastard child, all the image of iniquity, has smote that body at Calvary, or having sent his son in the image of sin, hath made an end of sin and done away with sin. And as Daniel said, Messiah, 483 years later, will come, and he will make an end of sin, and he will make an end of iniquity, and he will make an end of transgression. An end of sin, because transgression of the law is sin, and he folded up the law and laid it away. An end of iniquity, because your body is the image of iniquity. Within that is the interwoven infiltration, as within the body dwelleth no good thing. As to the bastard child, as to that out of wedlock from the garden experience, and so then you have to be born again. For he said in the morning, as to the coming of the day star, which is the breaking forth of Calvary, when I see this as to a manifestation at the end of the church ages, as to the sevenfold light, he said, I will despise your image. And even though this day star is broke forth, as to your inner man, you must bring it into this image to redeem the body, to change the body. And if this day star is within your heart, it will change the body. And if the body doesn't go to holiness or be changed to holiness, you're going to find out at the end of the way that you did not have the day star, because the nature within you, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that was in the body of Jesus Christ, will automatically make that Christ life manifest in your mortal genes, as from measure to measure, as to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It will move according to your several ability, as to whatever you can receive of this. So then we find that we are, as I said before, within this little house. As to the death angel passing over us, doing this episode of our life, and we're not to come out until the morning light. And we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, where we detail some of these things. So we find that we are as spiritual beings within little houses of clay. And as to this great light, which is God, that's moving ever toward us, as in the sense that you draw nigh to God and God draws nigh to you. As to the sun itself, it supposedly stands still. As to Joshua, he made it stand still. As this coming together, and as we draw to that light draws to us, we're enhanced by that light, and it within us is as to the heart. As to the blood, as into the heart of the earth, there's a heart of the earth. And in it is fire. And the Bible refers as to hell from beneath has moved for to meet thee at thy coming, enlarge itself without measure. And as to that which we see as a natural thing, the very casing of the earth on the inside is melting down. And it's getting thinner and thinner, as to it's being cracked open and it's been broken all apart, as to earthquakes, as to toward the end, because as to the heat here and the heat within here, as to God there, the great light, and God within you as the great light, these two are coming together, as in the natural, as in heaven, so on earth. The natural shows as to the dispensations of time, or as the periodic age, as to the period of time, as to wherever we are, progressively speaking, as to the stride of life, at this time of life, we see that. So then we find out that from milestone to milestone, these things are happening to our understanding, and it's a very dangerous age, as I said yesterday. Maybe sometimes we'll get a chance to explain why it's so dangerous. But anyway, in moving into this, then that means that as God has the world together, with this great body of water, there's so much water all over the earth, the ocean, lakes, everything. This water that is over the earth keeps that ball of fire that's in the heart of the earth from heating up the surface and just breaking it open. And God picks up the water from the great reservoirs of the earth, in that he moves over this as to bringing the heat like the sun, the day star, typical of God. It draws that water up, it vaporizes it like it's from ice to a liquid and then to a gas, taking it up as to a mist or as to a gaseous form, as we would say, vaporizing it. Then he takes it up, he condenses it in the heavens by the cold when it hits a certain level. Then the wind blows it gently over to the dry ground, and he rains it upon the dry ground, and the dry ground, which is our habitation, and water goes right down into that to feed the vegetation so we can live. Then it returns back into the little rivers and the streams, as to the underground streams. It goes right back to the ocean. And as Solomon said, everything goes within a cycle. It comes up through the root of the tree. It goes out through the trunk of the tree. It comes out through the branches. And the little pores sweat it out as the sun heats and pulls on Mother Earth. Then it heats the bed up as to the wound of Mother Earth. And the opening of the matrix as to the little butter bean, or that is to say the little seed, mixed with water and warm, softens, and the hardness of the stone breaks open. And then it pushes its way out as it's wooed by the sun and drawn as to pulling the vapor like through the root of the tree, up through the trunk of the tree. And then it stretches out as the wind blows it. It moves about, and a little sail will pop out and another little sail as it grows on up. And finally, as this water comes out through the branches, as it draws it all out, it leaves as to that tap root, as I say, going down into the water tables of the earth, drawing that water, these other little roots around it that gives it strength against the wind, and picking up elements as to feed and mixing it with this water. And this tree feeds off of these elements that brings forth the fruits as to the moist of this, leaving a little blossom and finally bringing about a little thing called an orange or an apple or whatever it might be, and leaves. And then the little pores open as to the heat, and it going on out. And God allows this until the parasites begin to eat off of it, when it gets luscious and sweet like the church is now. See, the church is luscious and sweet, and God is about to bring a winter time on it. Then the seasons have to come. There will be seasons of refreshing. Then the winter time comes, and they begin to Jim Jones the church, or they find fault with it, or they ridicule whatever, because it becomes so beautiful. Everybody wants to get to the church and eat of the fruits of the church. And they want to do that in hypocrisy. They don't want to get rid of the world, so they become parasites because they can't eat. And as this marriage supper is, they can get in without the wedding garment. See, to this great supper, as to say, this lamb, as our feast of charity, many are spots and blemishes. They're feasting with us with eyes of adultery that cannot cease from sin and beguiling unstable souls. And they're causing heartaches and sorrows. And they are as to wandering stars reflecting our light, when their love and desire is to the world and as to the human senses. And they will fall from their state of life as to those stars in the natural. So will these fall as to the angelic forces from that heavenly orient, as to where the blood is on the seat of atonement and this grace and mercy is about them. Well, anyway, as I'm saying, there will come a winter time. And the winter time is to the tribulation period and the different things, as to the darkness is beginning to come. And as the sun moves around to the other side, Satan, so as to the light toward God, and then as to the darkness toward us. See, and we are getting just a reflection of this thing, and God cannot get to us because Satan is as a blackmailer. You know, he keeps us in ignorance, and God can't get to us except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He hath made a door, his shepherd made that door, is going through the spheres out into outer space, has Armstrong on to the moon. So has Jesus, the door between heaven and earth, as to the shepherd. I am the door to the sheep, he said. And through this, we can go into the heavenlies. Paul, pardon me, spoke of it like this, that caught up to the third heaven, he went through this door after that Peter opened this door. Caught up into the third heaven. And so then we can go through this door to our angelic being and enter into the heavenlies. That's why the Bible said, you that are born of God, ye are in heaven. Like as to a letter that Betty got from the Carolinas somewhere, and they had heard one of our radio programs, and this lady was all excited. She said, husband and I are separated and we've had problems over religious differences. And said, I hear you say that we are gods. And said, this was one of our differences. And said, I'm so glad to hear you say that. And she believed on the word of God as to what we said. People need help. They need strength. They need somebody to tutor them and tell them, because they don't understand. It's a letter we got from down in Central America, I believe it was, a long time ago, said we heard over the radio here a message, and said this message was the dispute of the body, and they never heard anything like that, and said, would you please send us the tape on the dispute of the body? And of course, always getting letters, like one man one night, his little one was about to die, and there he was, just, you know, almost panicking, and he turned the radio on to hear our voice as we spoke of the positiveness of God and as God being a comforter, present help in the time of need. And all of a sudden, it gave him boldness to pray for his little one. And immediately God undertook for his little one. And he was so grateful as he wrote back to tell us about these things. Well, anyway, getting back to the major theme of our thought, we are picking up light. Some of us are picking it up because we are reflectors as to the grace upon the reflector. So then as to the dust, we are from the dust. Paul said, I say we to keep from saying you. As to we in our first birth, then if we do not transcend this of the first birth, it is very evident that we are of the dust, and from the dust ye are, and to the dust ye shall return. But if we transcend this by the change into the tranquillities of Christ, it proves that we are not of this world, neither of the dust, neither came we from this world, but we are a quickening spirit, as the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And in Christ, before the world ever was, as to the predestinated, this was given to us. And we're just passing through this little tunnel, as the tunnel of time, passing through from the beginning of the end, as to this darkness, as to the developing, or to grow to the place to where we recognize as to sweet because of bitter, and we recognize as to joy because of sadness. All we are going through this darkened chamber of that which is a contrast of our understanding, because light cannot be seen, therefore it must be comprehended, and we cannot know God, comprehend God, unless we pass through this life or status of life that has these little contrary things, that by these, as to say pain, we realize the joy of relief, and through suffering and these kind of things. And so it takes the contrast of that to build our mind and our thoughts. As from our childhood, when we come into this, as to a knowledge, then we know these things, and then we have to choose as to right or to wrong. And if we choose the wrong, it's very evident that we are not that all the predestinated as to the children of God, given this in Christ before the world ever was. As to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, our names written down in the Lamb's book of life, it proves that we have the love of the world, the covetousness of the world, that we are the image of the devil, and his will we will do, because he is our Father, if we're in that kind of condition. So then we're praying, Father, thy will be done, because we're not reflectors. We're born inwardly of the Spirit of God, and we're making this manifest. And at that coming together, that great light is to drawing this inner light to that outer light, the in-between, as to the consummation of this bodily image of bastard likeness. It will be done away with and be consumed. And Satan, that has projected himself through this line, vanity as to an image of the dust, will utterly be consumed with the brightness of his coming, as the elements even of the body and of this world, the very days being evil, they will be consumed, and the whole thing will be on fire, as to purge it by fire in the natural realm, the same way that he purges our body, as to say by blood, as to his divine blood in the physical realm, and the same way that he purges our spirit, as to the baptism of fire, as to that spirit of burning within the power of the Holy Ghost as to this innermost being, as to what we call the tabernacle, as to the body, and as to the holy place, the soul, and as to the spirit, the innermost sanctuary, which is the holies of holies, as to where Christ himself dwells, or the mercy seat, as to the blood of Christ upon the seat, as to the atonement, as to the mercy seat of your heart. So then we can tell by this that things are happening all around us. Things are taking place. We might not see it and we might not understand it, but it's taking place. And they that walk in the Spirit, they see these things. They understand these things. They comprehend these things. So the great day of the Lord is nearby. And this is that third dimension as to, even as Mr. Reagan in office, as to a movie star, as to the Star War, as to the third dimension, as to the celestial breaking it down, as to the Einstein day, as to that, a type as in heaven, as to our spirit, so that is a natural type. Though that is a third dimension, as to the earth, as to say a natural, physical, and spiritual in its type, but it's still within the natural realm. So it is a natural thing as to those natural bodies that's referred to as celestial. And Paul, using a human terminology, said there is a celestial body, or that is that that relates to heaven, but not as to this natural heaven that will pass away, but as to that great, wonderful third heaven, which is a spiritual heaven, which will never pass away. As to a natural body, as to a spiritual body, we didn't come from the dust. We're not going to the dust. He said, I came from heaven, and we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, members of his body in particular. I came from heaven, and I dwell in heaven, so I've gone back to heaven. See, as to that, this is what we need to understand. As to the translation, the transformation, the transfiguration, if we intend to be gods, if we intend to last eternally and not give our being, as for our soul being sold for 30 pieces of silver, or for a morsel of bread, or for the beggarly elements of this world, to be the bond child which cannot be heir with the free child. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your kind attention as always. One thing that you should do, you may not understand. If you don't understand, I understand that you don't understand. You should understand, but in that you don't think of it wrong. Don't speak of it wrong. Don't do anything to cross it. Just to ease your way out into the other part of the world and leave it alone, have nothing to say about it. Because see, if you don't know, David said, I don't exercise myself in those things that are too high for me. You'll just bring swift damnation upon yourself. Don't do that. See, as somebody just recently, I got the report that one of the young fellas, very, very reverent when he's around me and the brothers, But he was heard making a statement in the last day or two, said he was going to do such and such, that he referred to this out here in the wrong way. And immediately the law got him. Immediately the law got him. And now it looks like he's in jeopardy and in problems. And unless the Lord undertakes, which I trust he will, he'll go to prison. As far as I see now, there won't be no way to stop it. But I'm praying that God will have mercy. So you don't want to say anything. Be what you are. Always be the same here with us as you are out there. And if you don't like this and you don't want this, just don't be saying anything about it. Just go on your way, you know, and do like I did when I was a boy. When I didn't understand it, I just didn't go around it because I was afraid of it. Just remember that fear of God prolongs life, and you just don't want to mess with it. The more that you hear of it, the more is required, because to him that knoweth to do good, when it's revealed to him to know what good is, then it's required of him. And then if you don't do it, it is a sin. If you don't incorporate it within your lifestyle and you try to hide over in the shadows as to go on doing your worldly way of life, as to your carnality, then are you abiding in death? And though you may reason, because every man's ways is right in his own eyes, and you're going to reason as to the satisfaction of your human desire, which is Lucifer, who savors the things that be of the world. You're going to reason like that, but see, God isn't going to reason that way. He's going to reason with his word as the same to every generation, unaltered and unchanged. See, and Paul said, and this word will judge you in the last day. It's like a lady that was here the other night from Missouri. I felt conviction on it, and I felt that she should come to the altar. But I saw that she wasn't going to come to the altar. So I just prayed. I said, well, Lord, you'll work it out. I see your hand in it, and you've convicted her heart. Well, after service, she came to visit with us for just a little while, and she confessed that she was drawn to the altar and would not come. She could not explain why she didn't come, but it was the carnality of Satan that was talking to her. And she said, I said within my mind, I'm going to do thus and thus and thus. And then afterwards, I'll consider. But I said, that was a lying spirit talking to you and binding you. And of course, she wondered, you know. But I said, did you do what you said you was going to do? And of course, she didn't. I said, see, it was a lie. It was Satan lying to you. If it had not been Satan, you would have done it. But I said, God stopped it, changed it to expose that evil power of Satan working so cunningly through your mind to bind your soul. And when a person rebels, that's a demon spirit. When they are stubborn as to change and conform to what they hear, that is a devil spirit. See, the Bible said stubbornness, rebellion, is as the sin of witchcraft and idolatry. It's the same as if you was a witch, because it's a demon spirit. And Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? I told you before of a lady how that she was stubborn. She would not do the things that we told her, but very religious, and come to church and was with her husband, who was very religious and seemed to be a fine man. But anyway, she was arrogant as to her attitude. And I told her, I preached to her, that it was as the sin of idolatry and witchcraft. And as I told you, all of a sudden I went into a vision and I saw the lady standing before a huge open fire. And while she was standing there, I saw a witch come up behind her. And I saw the witch take her hair, which was long. A woman's hair is a symbol or symbolic of the glory of the church. And I saw the witch cut her hair off and take her hair and throw it into the flames. Whereas the glory departing from the house, as to say, Icky Bob wrote upon the door. And in all these years, she has never come back to God. She fell away and she's never come back. It looked like that she crossed the deadline just before this. If Brother Taylor recalls, he and I had a discussion over this, that it looked like that she crossed the deadline. Whereas he and I had a discussion over an individual that was here. And as a certain time, they said a certain thing. And I said, as to Brother Taylor, I feel like they crossed the deadline. And Brother Taylor says, I do too. So I heard what they said and said, I fear for them. And from that time through the years, though they stayed here for quite a long while, they're gone and they're in problems. They've never come back to God. And as the woman that sat over to my right along here where the young lady's standing there that night, just a little to her left, that night when I spoke of her, you know, and I spoke to you people, some of you confidentially, as to the rebellion that had a hold of her and how that it was holding on to the world and the things of the world. And then the same individual went out and made remarks. And as far as I know, they crossed the deadline and will never come back to God. That they can have the world now and all that's in the world because they've shortened their days by their disobedience. And no matter what they do, all they got to look forward to is the flames of hell. And anything that they get in the world will be nothing but a weight to them anyway. You know, as long as you think you got heaven with one hand and the earth with the other, or you got the things of God with one hand and the things of the world with another, you can enjoy the things of the world. But like as my son-in-law Dale back here, just recently they got another customer as to his dad's business over in the Carolinas. You've heard me speak of Brother David Allen as one of the finest businessmen that I ever met and one of the finest fellows. And he's in admiration there because of the tremendous amount of money he gets and the business for years. Just got a new customer just before Dale, my son-in-law, came down here. And Dale said this is one of the things that moved him. I didn't know it until David and Susan related this to me as to what Dale had said. But Dale was picked as the one to go pick up this as to the dry cleaning and whatever. And said suddenly he found himself in a room. And in this room, he realized he was in a morgue. And as to seeing several figures, the way they related to me, as to the authenticity of it, I don't know, but this is the way it came to me. And said there were several people laying there, and it was a place where they experimented as to, like the place you worked at, Brother Taylor. And they'd do autopsies and them kind of things, and said he saw those, I suppose, mangled, I don't know, cut up or whatever. He saw the individuals, and it was said that he just froze. All of a sudden he froze because it was startling to realize where he was. And said he heard a voice, and I probably may not can relate this anyways the way he did, but anyway, he heard a voice as to say after this fashion, that these one time was alive like you, and these one time had ambition like you, and these one time wanted the things of the world as to the cars and the houses and the money. We say as here to the fame, the popularity, the prestige, to be a celebrity and all these kind of things, even as Elvis Presley now lays within the ground, you know. They wanted these things. Some of them went after them, but as I say so often, when you pass the graveyard, as to the aged, as to the young, as to the biggest, to the little, as to the elders, as to the children, that is the end of all flesh and all of their ambition. Whether it be rich, whether it be celebrities, whether it be the billionaires, or whether it be the presidents, kings or queens or whatever, whether it be the stars, they're all laying 6 foot, supposedly, under the sod, and their spirit has gone either into paradise or into hell. And death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. And the way it does, the spirit of those that love the Lord, that spirit, angelic being that has been translated into the spirit of Christ, automatically that spirit goes back to heaven. For I'm from heaven, I go back to heaven, and it takes with it that life in that that's no more you but Christ living. And that is within you, Satan come from as to the bottomless pit, in that is his domains, and he has come into this world of light from that world of darkness by means of the blood being on the seat of atonement as to the grace which is given to the church until the change of the body. And as to the creatures of darkness, they're still out there, as we brought out in a sermon the other night. See, and if you are a creature of intellectual rebellion as to darkness, then just as quick as your natural breath of life leaves you, then your spirit is gone as to oneness with Lucifer. So are ye a devil. So is he your father. So are you as to Satan. As Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, or I've chosen one and he's a devil. And even as you are God, as to oneness with God, even Christ who is the great God of heaven and earth, as to membership of his body or children of his family, so then are ye one with the devil as to Lucifer and children of the devil. And you have the mind of the devil, and it is a positive thing that you will do the will of the devil. And since he came from the world of darkness and is to be bound in the bottomless pit, then as it was said of Judas, you go to your place, which of course is the bottomless pit. So we are here to tell you the difference. Dale said with this, he suddenly took a change of heart. And like Brother Taylor sings to you the song that we wrote, I've changed my mind. I thought it over. I've changed my mind. I don't know why I was so blind. When we talked it all over, I changed my mind. For he showed me heartaches. And here's what he said. They that live in pleasure are among the dead. I saw these heartaches and tear-dimmed eyes. We talked it over and I changed my mind. I've changed my mind, friend, about a lot of things ever since I met the King. I don't know why I was so blind, but when we talked it over, I changed my mind. So this is the way that it is, which reminds me as to these songs. They took quite a number of our songs over to the Rambos in the last day or two and sent word as to someone that Betty was talking to. She had talked to Reber and to Buck, and I think this putting Dottie through her ritualistics as to the condition of her body to help her, the treatments that they give her, and the woman that was standing in for her at that moment talking to Betty said that Dottie told her to tell Betty that she received these songs and the different things, and that we down here should be very proud as to their expression, world expression, you know, being lost for words, that you should be very proud of your people down there, because these are such good people that they almost had a revival in her garage. And that also sent word, I believe, that if we would give them the invitation, they would come down here. Whereas I find myself between the rock and the hard place, because I believe these people are wonderful people and good people and have done a lot of good things. But people drift as it is into the things of the world. It's like Naomi, she wants to come back here with her group. She's asked. And the numbers of others have desired to do that, and numbers of them that have been here, that they want to come back. But I do know that a lot of these people, as to their mode of dressing and as to their intellectual reasoning, as to makeup and these kind of things, that it puts me in a precarious place, or as to a situation that is hard to cope with, as to allowance. Their talents are great, but some of them have wrapped them up in a napkin, as to say, this old worldly way of life, and hid them in the dust. And their singing and talents are expressions as to the world for admiration, as to entertainers of the flesh, and being bound as to bonds children for this desire, it really makes it bad. The Bible said, let him that nameth the name of Christ, even the singers as it was back in that day, depart from iniquity. And let him that beareth the vessel of God, let him be holy. So it makes it hard to find who can sing, even as to those that are religious and may be going along with formality and ritualistics. Their spirit still is in the wrong state of mind as to wooing and cooing and those kind of things. As to some that are in the church and their eyes are still filled with the lust and desire as to human form and human ego and lusting after people and forms and whatever, they're in the church, you know, spots and blemishes. Well, anyway, you pray that everything will work out right. And it will. For them that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Them that he did predestinate, he also called. And them that he called, he also glorified, justified, sanctified. And what can we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. And you are his elect by foreknowledge. Let's sing together. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burden of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. My heart cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the
the sky. Nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze on the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with hearts of gold and a thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah land, my home, sweet home. That all I saw, I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the light signs of home, a welcome sight. Can you sing that with me? Seems I can hear all the angels sing with hearts of gold, one the thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah, it's my home, sweet home. At all I see, do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight. One more time. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with their hearts of gold, land of thousand strings. Earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet beauty, it's my home, sweet home. Is that all I saw, I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sign to me. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? It really is the lights of home. Really is the lights of home. And it really is a welcome sight to me. Sing one or two more choruses. Come together and worship the Lord a little bit with the word, and then we worship him in song to strengthen ourselves against the coming days
or that is to say, because this is the fill-up station, and we don't want to run out of fuel, so we do our little bit of coming together to where we can sing, talk to God, and then we can enjoy the wonderful presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as to a new strength, a new vision, and that the Lord said, I'll do a new thing. And then all week long, we get to enjoy the wonderful presence of God. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I need is the love of Jesus for me. God's so I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your worldly fame. All I want is more of Jesus for me. Everything. So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need your diamond ring. All we need is the love of Jesus for me. He's my everything. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the sun falls,
sunshine, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul.
So let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. The rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh, so happy. One more time. Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, for he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to
tell.
Everybody ought to know
who Jesus is.
Jesus is.
For
is the lily of your valley, and these your bright moments dark, and these the first of 10,000.
Can you lift your hands up, close your eyes, and let's sing this.
And I will praise Him, my heart will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and will give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain.
Sing it again now. I'm going to ask Bob to come up and dismiss us.
I will praise Him, sinners slain, and I'll give Him glory, all people, for His blood has washed away every.
One more time together now.
And we